We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
ESPN Upstate presents Straight Up with Sturge with Mark Sturgis.
Pay attention, please.
Call 844-GSP-ESPN. And now, Straight Up with Sturge on ESPN Upstate.
All right, welcome back into this Monday edition of Straight Up with Sturge. We're going to go back to the guest line. It's our good friend, Coach Josh Pastner of the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets. And, Coach, what a game on Saturday. That should prove to every child out there why you play all the minutes on the clock.
Well, you know what? First of all, thank you for having me. And it was a great, not only a great game, it was a great week for us. You know, we had a great win versus Florida State on Wednesday. And then obviously, you know, you win. What's great about this league, or greater, maybe that's not the right word, scary, is you win the game versus Florida State, and then you're ready to celebrate, and then all of a sudden you remember you're playing Notre Dame on Saturday. You know, you win Wednesday and ready to play on Saturday. There's just no games off in this league. There's just no gimmies. It's such a gauntlet. And it's sort of the same thing when you beat Notre Dame, and then all of a sudden you remembered you got to play at Clemson on Wednesday. But it was a great week for us. You know, we've obviously have improved as a team. We've had good team unity. I mean, from our first exhibition game where we had to go to overtime to win, to where we are now where we've had some really good wins, we've improved as a team. We've gotten better. And are we out of the woods? Absolutely not. Do we still have a lot of room to grow? Yes. Is our margin for error still zero? Is this still a major rebuild job? Absolutely. Are we still the most inexperienced team entering this season in all of college basketball? Yep. Was I told when I got the job that we weren't going to win a game in the ACC? From my bosses, forget the media. Uh-huh. From my bosses, and that we weren't going to win a game in the ACC my first year and win maybe a total of just 20 over the first 2 years of total wins. So we're not out of the woods. I recognize that, but we obviously still have severe limitations in a lot of areas. However, we've like I said earlier, we've gotten better as a team.
We're talking with Georgia Tech head basketball coach Josh Pastner. The Yellow Jackets coming to Little John here this Wednesday to take on Clemson. And coach, is Price Atkinson, it's always great to spend some time and catch up with you. And you know, you guys sitting here right now at the halfway mark of the ACC season. 5-4, like you said, your bosses told you they didn't think you'd win a game this first year, and you lost four double-digit scores off last year's team. But I want to go back to December and ask you about the VCU game, that first week of December, because you guys were 5-3 heading into that game, had a 10-day layoff coming up after it, and you guys went into Richmond and VCU and got a rare win on the Rams' home court. How much did that win give your team the confidence and kind of help springboard you guys forward?
You know, that was a great win. On the road, as you guys had mentioned, just as you just mentioned just now about, you know, to win at that place, I think their home court winning percentage was, it was some crazy number in the last, whatever, since Shaka's there and then Will Wade taking over. And even going back to, you know, Anthony Grant and Capel, I mean, it's been a heck of a home court advantage for them. So for us, for us to get that win coming off of a two-game losing streak, was huge for us, and we had to do it in overtime. It was really big for us. So, you know, what I would tell you is it probably gave us, for the guys, an understanding of the vision of what we were trying to instill in them, of how we were trying to get things accomplished, the blueprint. From that win, I think they were able to taste it, feel it, smell it, like just as in terms of that victory and a really great, hard-fought win in a very tough environment and so it was good for us. It was huge for us, and it made it really something that we could hang our hat on as we move forward and showed the guys the kind of the blueprint of what we need to do.
As we continue with Georgia Tech head basketball coach Josh Pastner, you can follow him on Twitter at GT Josh Pastner. Passner, does a lot of cool things on social media, getting the students out there to McCamus Pavilion. But, Coach, I want to ask you real quick, before we kind of get back to Georgia Tech and what you guys have ahead moving forward. You know, Memphis, where you spent, I believe it was seven great seasons there, Memphis is a basketball town. They love college basketball, Memphis, and I know you're incredibly fond of your time there, and taking over for Coach John Calipari. But has escaping maybe that fishbowl of what is Memphis basketball, has that allowed you, I don't want to say to relax, but kind of unshackled you a little bit of a way as a head coach? Because obviously right now, one of your best seasons ever, you know, patrolling the sidelines in college basketball.
Well, guys, what I would tell you is, I loved my time at Memphis. Loved it. I was a head coach there for 7 years. Mm-hmm. Loved every second of it. However, I followed John Calipari. Mm-hmm. I got the job at 31 years of age because I was an assistant at Memphis and because nobody wanted to follow John Calipari. It was the most wins in a four-year time period in that last 4 years, and I was his assistant. But those last 4 years in the history of the NCAA, he had won over 90% of his games those last 4 years. And people used to ask me, what's it like working for him? And I would tell people, the guy that follows this guy is crazy. And I became the crazy guy. And part of it is because you couldn't just like cancel the program. You had to hire a coach at some point. And so nobody wanted it. And I was just literally last man standing. So I knew what I was walking into. I mean, you got to remember, there was a helicopter circling his house, whether to decide to see if he was deciding to take the Kentucky job. This wasn't a hostage negotiation. It was whether he was taking the Kentucky job. That's what I was following. And so, I understood it. I understood it, and I think most people would have realized or signed up for it if I would have told them, hey, in 7 years, a first-time head coach is going to be the fastest in Memphis history to win 100 to 150 games, have a 70% winning percentage, and never lose three games in a row there, and or at the end of the 7 years, be 10th in the history of the game for most wins in a first 7 year period. But because you were following what I was following, the intensity, the scrutiny, the debating, it was 24/7, 365. And so when the Georgia Tech job opened, and for me from afar said, man, they've had good success in the past, but they haven't, you know, they haven't been in a tournament in a long time. They've been down for a while. The AD said what I told you guys at the beginning of the show about the expectations. We were going to be picked last place. Many national media said we weren't going to win a game. Many coaches in the league had told me that at the spring meetings. Hey, this is going to be a rough year for you. You might not win a game in the league. You got to keep upbeat, positive. So, you know, for me, though, I looked at it and say, man, what a great opportunity. I have an opportunity to put my footprint on it. You're in Atlanta. You're in the ACC, and you've got the academics as well, too, and you're taking something from ground zero. A startup company is what you're building. And I've had success taking something over at the highest of high levels that you can have in college basketball, and to be determined if we can still have the success here. But just in the internal drive to be able to say that if we can have success, or I've been able to have success at both ends of the spectrum from taking something over at literally at two ends of the spectrum, I would say not too many people get that opportunity. And we still got to do our job here, but it's a great motivating factor.
As we continue with head coach Josh Passner of the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets, they're 5-4 in ACC play, 13-8 on the year, and they're headed up to Clemson on Wednesday night. And coach, at what point did you see the light bulbs starting to come on for this team? Because now you got Josh Okogie and Ben Lammers both averaging 15 points a game. You also got two more double-digit scores in Tadrick Jackson and Quentin Stevens. So you're maximizing what you have available, because the bench isn't real deep this year for the Jackets.
No, and our margin for error hasn't changed. It's still zero. We have still severe limitations. We have to be perfect in the controllables. What are we able to control? And that, I call them the controllables. And that's our execution, that's our energy, and that's our effort. I mean, that is why we lead the league in the ACC. And during ACC play, we're first in field goal percentage defense. In ACC play, we're second in assists. We've done a good job of moving the ball, like last game versus Notre Dame, 18 assists on 26 made field goals. So all those things are important. And and all that comes back to allowing guys, because we don't have any guy on our team, even though you mentioned some of those stats for individuals, we don't have any guy on our team that's good enough just to get us a win. They're not good enough. We don't have those type of individuals. And I've been around those type of individuals that are good enough just to put you on their shoulder and get a win. And we don't. So our only chance is playing through team unity, is playing through team, is playing the right way. You know, is the open man, is the go-to man, giving up a good shot for a great shot. Five guys guarding the basketball, not one. And so all that is important for us to have any chance of success that you know, we obviously are shooting for.
All right, Coach, as you guys get ready to take on the Tigers on Wednesday night down here at Little John Coliseum, fantastic job by you guys. Store the year, my book, in the ACC right now is Georgia Tech. And one of the big disappointments, I think, at the same time, is Clemson. And, you know, it is a tough league, as you mentioned. It's just so hard to find wins every night in the Atlantic Coast Conference. And you know, one guy in the matchup with Clemson the last time, and I know the Tigers fairly vulnerable on the boards. You guys, I think, held a 40-29 advantage on the glass against them in McCamus Pavilion in the win. But Ben Lammers, I know Josh Okogie, true freshman, leading scorer, gets a lot of hype for what he's doing. But I tell you right now, Ben Lammers, watching you guys play, especially to go up against North Carolina and Florida State, the size that those teams have, to do what he does in the middle, rebound the basketball, not just score, but assist, blocking shots, and staying out of foul trouble, I could not be more impressed with your big man in the middle.
Yeah, no, Ben Lammers has really gotten better. He's improved. He's a fine young man. My assistant, Eric Reveno, has done a great job with his development. I hired him. He used to coach the big guys at Stanford, the Collins twins, the Lopez twins, Mark Mattson. He was a head coach at Portland for 10 years. So I hired him, and he's been known as one of the best big man coaches in the game, in the college game. And he's done a great job with Ben Lammers. He really has, and so that's been good. And Ben has been coachable. Does he have a long way to go? Yes, he does, because you know, he's still got to get better in many areas. But I'm proud of him for where he's at and the improvement he's made.
Well, listen, Coach, it'd be remiss if we didn't say we were proud of you, because, you know, you gave us that speech up at Basketball Media Days, and, yeah, it was a little bit different, and that's what's always fun about it. You know, it just proves there's more than one way to skin a cat. Listen, final question. Every coach has to have a place they can go get a good meal, especially down in the ATL. Have you kind of found a place you've stumbled upon you like to call your home away from home?
You know what? The issue here in Atlanta, there's so many great restaurants. Mm-hmm. I found more than one place, and that's a problem when you look at my my belt's not fitting as well lately. So I've been trying to hit the gym as much as I can, and there's too many good restaurants here in the ATL. I've been eating too well, so I need to do a better job of my meals, especially late night meals. I got to be better about that.
I am pretty confident I saw more than a Phil Mickelson sky when you guys hit that basket against Notre Dame with no time left on the clock.
Well, listen, the adrenaline rush gives you an inch or two, you know what I mean? So, you know, when we won the game there, that buzzer shot, I raised my arms up like Rocky was going up the stairs, you know, on that thing with both fists in the air. So there's nothing like sports, the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. And when you're in it long enough, you've been on both sides, and it's the swing of emotions is crazy.
Well, listen, thanks for your time. Best of luck coming up here, and we'll say hello to you on Wednesday night. Thanks, Coach.
Look forward to seeing you guys Wednesday.
Right.
Thanks, guys.
Coach.
Thanks. Always appreciate catching up with Coach Pastner. He's just a good dude, and I'm happy for him. There's somebody that gets, you know, what it's like to coach college basketball in a big city, Memphis, now Atlanta. All right, when we come back, it's open phones, 844-GSP, ESPN.
We're talking sports on Straight Up with Sturge. Follow us on Twitter and interact at ESPN Upstate.
All right, appreciate Coach Josh Pastner getting in with us. I know you're happy between a little helmet and a little Primus there.
This is Three Doors Down, dude.
That's not Three Doors Down.
I know my tunes.
That's like saying that's Nickelback.
I know my tunes. Mr. Band, Mr. Megadeth.
That's Primus. Thank you very much. So,
I think it's Three Doors Down.
No.
A heavier version of Three Doors Down.
No. I'm sorry. That would be like saying everything along those lines is Nickelback, and it's not. All right.
Can I ask you a question?
You better be careful.
Watching Bill Belichick on TV
uh-huh.
and getting ready for Media Day, I believe it's tomorrow,
tomorrow night, isn't it?
Excuse me. I think it is tomorrow night.
Yes.
On prime time. Who is a more unquotable coach or sports person? Let's just keep it to coach. Who is a more unquotable coach in all of sport than Bill Belichick? Greg Popovich is the only one I'd come close. Even Pop says some funny things.
Little Nicky Saban from time to time.
Gives some better stuff. Fight the press.
Right. Yeah. He'll give him a hard time.
Nick's quote about Georgia Southern running through them like blank through a goose. that was hysterical.
Yeah. He's got some funny stuff. Belichick is about as drill, boring. He'll rarely even mix it up with the media. I mean, who is more boring?
All right.
I'm serious.
I'm trying. Parcells? Because it depended. He was bipolar when he came to dealing with the media. Every once in a while, he'd say something really good, but then again, he could get on you as well. And, I'd have to go back to just the quiet coaches. I mean, Tom Landry was nobody back in the day that would give you anything. It was just simply because he was a very, very quiet man. But, you would think that to me is going to be one of the more fun things to watch when it comes to these media days is, you know, how many times has Belichick put himself into this situation? And again, outside of, I'm just here because I don't want to get fined. I mean, that's probably about the kind of question, the kind of answers you're going to get tomorrow night from Bill Belichick.
That's all he ever gives. I mean, what else is new? I mean, that's all he says. He doesn't tip his hand. No bulletin board stuff. And no. I mean, that's the way his team operates. I mean, Tom Brady's an extension. At least Tom Brady's got a little bit of personality, but you're not going to get anything.
Well, speaking of Tom Brady, did you see he put the kibosh on his dad? Because his dad went off. He did not sugarcoat his feelings about NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell, our least favorite NFL, or let me rephrase that, our least favorite sports commissioner here on Straight Up with Sturge, because he was the man responsible for suspending Tom Brady for 4 games over the Deflategate. I'll go ahead and call it what it is, just absolutely ridiculous silliness. And the elder Brady said during an interview up in the New England area, quote, "I think any parent can understand that. They'd rather take the slings and arrows in the heart than have their kids take it. What the league did to him, what Roger Goodell constantly lied about, is beyond reprehensible as far as I'm concerned." I have no issues with that. That's what we're supposed to do as a parent. You know, when you watch your child get attacked, whether right, wrong, or indifferent, it's going to bring up an emotional side of you. Now, while laughing about it, Tom Brady said, quote, "I banned my dad from talking. He's no longer available to the media this week."
Love it.
Well, he goes on.
Love it.
Tom Brady goes on to say, quote, "I love my dad as any parent knows how much you love your kids. My dad has been my best friend my entire life. He's always been my number one supporter. Hopefully he's at the game cheering me on. He's great. He's a great man and I love him to death. He taught me everything about life, certainly about how to be a father, because he's one of the best a son could ever ask for. I try to pass those things on to my kids because he was so supportive of not only me, but my 3 sisters were all great athletes in their own right. My mom, they're still married after 46 years. I've been very, very fortunate." But
my question is, who put a microphone in Tom Brady Sr.'s face?
Oh, dude, it was a sports talk show.
Interview.
It was an interview on a sports talk show. Oh, come on. Heading into the Super Bowl, you get that sound bite that Tom Brady's dad's throwing Roger Goodell under the bus, like we've all done, because it was garbage. I mean, where else other than the NFL do you not have to prove your case?
That's the problem, Sturge, is you're still arguing footballs that are 2 PSI lower. That's not what Roger Goodell was arguing. Roger Goodell was, you gave me the power to make this decision. Now you want to fight me on it.
Yeah. And
they were fighting 2 different battles at the same time.
Yeah, but guess what? Roger Goodell was never fighting the first one. He was making a power play. Why? Because
because the CBA gave him that power.
And guess what? Whose fault's that? It's the players, but it still doesn't make it right when you can go be judge, jury, and executioner.
Right. Did Tom Brady sign that document?
Probably not. It was probably the team rep for New England that signed it on behalf of.
Doesn't the team rep represent Tom Brady?
Yeah, like you have a representative for any radio station in this building.
Airtight.
You're not going to get 100%.
Airtight argument.
Yeah.
That's airtight.
That's the best argument you've had around here in a while. But my point being, let's take the 93.3 The Planet staff. I ask you one question amongst all of y'all. We will never get a unanimous answer. And that could be, is the sky blue?
Okay.
So my point being, you know, it's never going to be unanimous with 93.3 The Planet. It'll never be unanimous when it comes to a team. But guess what? In this day and age, in a democracy, the more votes win.
Well, that's like saying it's okay for me to go out and shoot and kill somebody because I didn't sign the document that said killing someone's illegal.
You're just trying to be argumentative here.
I'm just trying to win.
Well, you know,
and I did. I just won. I just beat Tom Brady's argument.
No.
And millions of dollars spent in a courtroom in under 30 seconds.
That's right, because it became about Roger Goodell and not about what was right. And you can do that when you're the king. And Roger Goodell is the king. He views himself as that.
Yeah,
he views himself bigger than the game of the NFL. And I think that's why we've seen some ratings start to decrease.
Yeah, I think that's exactly why, because people are worn out with it.
Mm-hmm.
Deflategate wore everybody out. They got sick of seeing the corporate shield of the NFL showing up every single day on TV, in newspapers, websites, everywhere about Deflategate. Everybody was sick and tired and wanted nothing else to do with what's called the NFL.
Why does this matter right now? Why does Tom Brady have to go into the Super Bowl on Sunday night against the Atlanta Falcons, potentially having to address if he's a friend of Donald Trump or not? What does that make a difference to the NFL? What does that make a difference to the person on it? And why in God's green earth is this a storyline on Monday? I couldn't care less who Tom Brady's friends with. What, are we not going to allow him to play if he admits that he's actually friends with Donald Trump? Why in the world is this a story today, Price? Calm me down, because I think it's the stupidity of this country ringing true right now.
Who is a bigger lightning rod in America than the Donald? There is
Tom Brady.
Well, yes. You marry those two, what do you have? Things to talk about.
But why does that matter on Monday heading into the Super Bowl? What are you going to, if anybody's friends with Donald Trump now, are you now suspended for playing in the game on Sunday? Why does it matter if Tom Brady and Bill Belichick and anybody with the Patriots is friends with Donald Trump? It's not going to matter into that storyline come Sunday night.
I think it's just about ostracizing the player for a relationship he's got with the, you know, a guy that's clearly a lot of people are not happy with right now. At the end of the day, it's a non-story. Why can't he be friends with the Donald?
I'm right there with you. So this is what we get into now, and I'm not getting into politics, but if we don't like your friends, then guess what? We're now going to ostracize you on Twitter and in the national media, because who is the one that is out there deciding who can be friends with who and not be friends with this person? Because sorry, at 48 years old, I have now missed that memo on who I'm allowed to be friends with. Who is now controlling this?
Well, the other thing is why they're bringing it up is where else can you what can you get Tom Brady to step in?
Right.
You know, and I think he's one of the guys not to do it. You know, Tom Brady is not going to step in. He's smarter than that. You might have
he's
some
smarter
other,
than all of them.
There are other players out there that you could go there and get something from, and I guarantee you could get them to talk their way at some point into a story or quote. But Tom Brady's not going to do it. He's way too smart and intelligent for it.
I am right there with you. And again, it's just disgusting because, you know, Price, I don't want to have to go through and justify who all I'm friends with and who all I'm not. This is just, I don't want to go there. But it's just, it's the PC police at this point trying to make everything work its way out. And quite frankly, you can't lump everything into this. And you can't throw a blanket over everything. And it just goes to show you why some things are in a pretty nasty place. But I tell you what, Tom Brady, he's going to end up being the winner when all of this is said and done. And I think that is it. I think Roger Goodell has drawn that line in the sand, and he has forced some everyday football people like me when it comes to the NFL to go to one side or the other. And right now, it doesn't matter which side it is. I'll go to the opposite of Roger Goodell. He's made his bed, and I don't think he's concerned about it.
All right, let me ask you this. With your dislike and disdain for Goodell in the NFL, are you going to watch the Super Bowl on Sunday?
Yeah, because I've got food to eat.
We could do that watching college basketball.
I got food to eat with from Shamrocks in Lexington, Kentucky. I mean, my God, the Super Bowl deserves no less than the famous beer cheese dip from Shamrocks.
He's going to watch it because he's a sadistic human being.
Yeah.
He hates it, but he's going to watch it anyway.
Well, the storyline for me is to see if my rivals, the Atlanta Falcons, can get their first Super Bowl win in their history. All right. When we come back, of course, some other moves going on in the NFL as well. That includes John Lynch is the new general manager of the San Francisco 49ers. Price, this one's left a lot of people around scratching their head. Why? Because he's never served one day in an NFL front office. But he's a pretty smart man as he comes from Stanford out there on the farm. This is Straight Up with Sturge. You can get in. We've got two final segments. It's open phones, 844-GSP, ESPN.
You're listening to Straight Up with Sturge. Text keyword ESPN, followed by your message to 71307. This is ESPN Upstate.
All right, so I think it's fair to say one Price Atkinson, one Diesel. If you graduate from the farm, and I'm not talking the body farm up in Knoxville, Tennessee. Yeah, you know about the book. You know about what they do up there. They even brought it up in The Blind Side. You remember when she talked about storing all the dead bodies underneath the field?
Yep.
But John Lynch, he graduates from the farm from Stanford. He plays safety in the NFL for a long, long time. 15 years, as a matter of fact, he's up for induction. He's eligible to be voted in the Hall of Fame this week. Smart man, no question about it. But this will be Lynch's first front office job, and that's to fix a franchise. It's gone 7-25 the last two seasons and made dumb coaching hires. The first, Jim Tom Sula, who had no business, nice guy, no business, but he made Chip Kelly look like a coaching or Chip Kelly made Tom Sula look like a coaching prodigy this past year. I mean, what do you do? I like Lynch. He's a good guy. He's smart. But again, is this one of those Kirby Smart deals? I get to take a little bit of a wait and see attitude because, you know, San Francisco, while they're at the bottom of the pile, they're still one of the premier football franchises of the NFL.
It certainly is eye raising. I don't know enough about. Here's what I think. I think it's clearly a gamble. If you're San Francisco, what else is there to do? You've gambled enough. Why not keep going and keep digging your hole? Now, however, he's the guy that's, you know, been an analyst, knows the players, knows the ins and outs of the game, having played, watches these guys, watches a lot of tape every week so he can evaluate talent and players. You know, he's a smart guy, went to Stanford. What side of the bit, what business sense does he have to help on that the financial side of things when it comes to structuring contracts and that kind of thing? Because to me, that's the most difficult part.
Yeah, I mean, because they say he's going to hire a longtime veteran front office guy. And you got to have somebody that you trust that you can bounce things off of. But the other thing is you know well as I do, Price, when it comes to this level, it's having confidence in yourself to make the right decisions. John Lynch is a football guy, so there is that to fall back on. If I'm going to make this hire, I'll err on the side of John Lynch than some guy that's just pulled himself up, you know, due to X's and O's and or formulas. How about that? You know, Moneyball with the Oakland A's, that kind of thing. And I'm with you. If you're going to have already these other coaches on the payroll as well as GMs, why not have a few more at this point as well?
I just think that it all starts with the upcoming draft. Mm-hmm. And how many times have we seen the Cleveland Browns just continually screw this thing up? And not just in the drafting, in terms of keeping players, releasing players. I mean, how many players are starting for or playing for the Patriots right now that were just a short time ago a Cleveland Brown? I mean, what they're doing in Cleveland in terms of player personnel is a major mystery, and that's putting it nicely or kindly. I don't know what the 49ers are doing, but it starts with the draft, and that's where you got to identify the kind of talent you want to put in place that's going to fit the systems you're trying to run, where Kyle Shanahan obviously is going to come over as offensive coordinator from the Falcons and start running there with the 49ers. But that's where, to me, it begins and ends, is the upcoming draft.
Yeah, and it probably starts at quarterback and what they're going to do. You know, we hear they're infatuated by Trubisky, but that's the one thing that you know Shanahan can do. He can bring an offense there because the Falcons reached this year year's Super Bowl with an offense that hit nearly 34 points a game, 33.8 points per game to be exact. And you're talking about, so that brings up the next question. I don't believe that Shanahan would have anything to do with their quarterback situation there. He does not run the same style that you could do anything with Colin Kaepernick. I go ahead and get rid of Blaine Gabbert as well, and I wipe the slate clean, because that means, guess what? There's only one way to go but up.
You know what I'd do? I'd be going after – I'd go to the Washington Redskins and say, what's it take? What do you need to get Kirk Cousins? Because they have worked together. You know, Kirk Cousins mm-hmm. is a known commodity. And right now for the 49ers, I would want to start with a known commodity. And they obviously have the relationship of working together, close, trust. They like each other. That's where I would go. I would not, if I'm the 49ers, I'm not going to try and find my quarterback through the draft and taking a flyer on Mitch Trubisky. I'd go after Kirk Cousins.
Well, I'd do that, maybe put Trubisky there to back him up for a year, because, again, that's my problem with Trubisky. 13 games as a quarterback in college, and he cost his team in that 13th game the Sun Bowl.
Yeah, but if you're going to somehow get Kirk Cousins, you're going to have to give up that pick that you would draft Trubisky with, so they would not be able to have both.
Okay. All right, so that's going to be an interesting one to watch moving forward. But we can tell you they're already playing women's basketball down at the Colonial Life Arena. Tennessee was down 9 points to South Carolina in the first quarter, but they have rallied to take the Lady Vols have rallied to take a 35-33 lead right before halftime. So, again, women's basketball headed going on down at the Colonial Life Arena, a team which is now in the top four. Mm. Also, the guys, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, I'm walking in this building tomorrow as nervous as I've been in a while.
Got to meet with the boss.
Nope. The boss man's out sick, by the way.
Okay.
So it's just what potentially could be like. If I'm Diesel, I can promise you I'm sending a robot in the 93.3 Planet studio before I head down there tomorrow night.
All right. See, now you got me nervous.
Because guess who's going to be live in studio during the 8 a.m. hour with the Rise guys tomorrow on 93.3 The Planet?
Carrot Top?
No.
Jenna Jameson?
No.
Don't know.
Carrot Top, dude, you may find cocaine left everywhere all over that studio.
Dustin Diamond.
No, a former big-time wrestler. He's actually going to be appearing on tomorrow night at the Comedy Zone here in Greenville. It is Jake the Snake Roberts.
Hi-o.
And the dude, if he still brings a snake to his performances, just count me. I will run the opposite way and scream like the little girl that I raised that's now 15 years old. I am telling you, I got all freaked out last week when I looked across the street when we were down at Smoke on the Water, and all the way on the other side of North Main Street getting ready to cross was a dude with like a 20-foot python or something.
I know that guy. It's like a 6-foot python.
Yeah, this thing was bigger than 6 months.
I think you're making up stories here.
I'm allowed to make up a story on my own.
I know that guy. I know the well, unless it's a different guy, but I know the guy who brings his red tails and other things.
I don't care. I don't want to see
downtown.
That.
I know that guy.
I don't want to see it. It is too insane for me to look from 250 to 300. No.
They're gentle giants.
They are not. You don't crawl up into bed and curl up with a
nobody does that.
Python.
Nobody does that.
Why? Because they'll kill you.
That's also not true. But yeah, nobody
can
does that, sir.
Can we end the snake conversation, please?
But that dude, that will be kind of cool tomorrow on the Rise Guys. Jake the Snake Roberts.
See, what you're saying is we're not going to do bring our pet to work day because I have a snake.
I know you do, and I don't want to see it for anything.
I will admit something right now on this radio show. That took me a long time.
No, I don't like snakes nor spiders.
It took me a long time to add Diesel on Facebook because I knew I'd see pictures of his pet, and I did not want him to start scaring me by even tweeting me photos of his pet. I never want bring your pet to work day, especially in this building, in this studio with that man to our right.
I wasn't going to tweet you photos of my snake before, but I sure as hell am now.
I know you are, and that's why I never said anything until this point, because it is my biggest fear, and I don't want to even see him, dude. Don't even think about starting to do that. I will block you in a heartbeat.
All I got to say is Ben or Maddie is walking in going, Dad! Dad?
I'm not.
What's the picture on Facebook of the big snake?
I am not playing around when it comes to that stuff.
All right. When we come back, we'll close up shop. One more segment of open phones, some more NFL as well. It's Straight Up with Sturge. We're live in studio, but we're back at Smoke on the Water tomorrow.
This is Straight Up with Sturge. Call 844-GSP-ESPN and talk sports on ESPN Upstate.
Yeah, I played this song to calm you both down.
To kiss back
you both
like
off the
snakes.
Ledge.
I mean, we were just admitting, no, I will not look at the freaking snake in the Jungle Book. And Price was admitting.
Can't even look.
Price was admitting that.
So you're not even going to show your kid that Hollywood Disney classic?
No, I'll fast forward
of,
through it.
Of Robin Hood? You won't even watch Robin Hood with the little snake that.
No. Of any kind.
Prince John's little henchman?
Hey, listen. For an entire 6 months when my daughter was 2 years old, I get her from daycare and come home. What do you want to see while I'm fixing dinner? Lion King, all right?
Yeah.
Always had to go. All I had to do was just listen, and I would still, for 6 months straight, have to forward it through the scene where the animals trample and run through because she didn't like it. Same thing with me when it comes to a snake. You know, Price admitted he didn't like that part of Indiana Jones when he looked down and he goes, "Indy, please tell me why the floor is moving," because there's nothing but snakes down there on the floor.
That was the worst impersonation of that kid ever.
Dude, I don't even like it in Aladdin when I get to that part where Jafar turns into the daggum thing at the end of the book.
Yeah, I have a feeling your Twitter inboxes are both going to fill up.
Probably so.
That block button will be utilized so fast, and our producer will be blocked by one of the on-air hosts of this show in a New York second, and it will stay that way.
I'm not saying I'm going to do it.
I'm just saying right now.
I'm not saying I'm going to blow up your inbox with snake photos, which, by the way, it's at Price Atkinson. And
if you mobilize,
at Sturgis Sports.
If you get your P1s mobilized tonight, I will deactivate.
It's not my P1s. This is the ESPN Upstate audience.
I will deactivate my Twitter account tonight if this happens.
All right. Who is the most? You remember this.
We need to find Roger Goodell's biggest fear and get him to deactivate his.
Yeah, no kidding. I know what it is. It's called not having enough zeros on the back end. All right. You remember the question that they asked in the great movie Vacation when he goes, how much is this going to cost me to fix my car? How much you got in your wallet?
The what movie?
Vacation. You know, when he says, I never met anybody so you know what off stupid as you when he drives his car out
National
in the middle
Lampoons?
Of the
Lampoons?
Yeah, Vacation.
Oh, wait.
Vacation. Vacation. All right. Never met anybody so you know what stupid is you. All right. How about this one? James Robinson, a four-star wide receiver, this past weekend on an official visit to Ohio State, gets busted for marijuana on the official visit. So Ohio State has now told the kid, sorry, we won't recruit you anymore. So everybody thinks that James Robinson is going to sign with the University of Florida on signing day. Mm-hmm. I'm sure Jim McElwain was probably like, yeah, man, give it to me. I mean, that's a 6'4" wide receiver, number one, 21 prospect in the state of Florida, number 21 wide receiver in the class of 2017. With the administration at Florida says, guess what? You're not going to sign this kid either because I'm sorry. I can't have a whole lot of thought. I believe in second chances. Trust me, I tell my daughter all the time, don't be afraid to make a mistake. Just don't make the same mistake twice. It means you did not learn from it. But I'm not really sure if I can nor if I really want to help you. If you're from Florida, you take an official visit to Ohio State, one of the preeminent college football programs in this country, and you can't get out of Columbus without a ticket for a marijuana violation. I think I just
you know what they have a lot of? You know what they have a lot of in Florida? Snakes.
Didn't see a single one on their airboat ride, and I left pretty daggum excited.
Oh, it's a big problem. Say. People letting their reticulated pythons loose in the Everglades, what they've done is all the different snake species have all started to interbreed and form a species of super snake.
It's going
to
be some massive super snake, like 38 feet long, 18.
They can pick locks. They can get into houses. It's crazy.
Enough. All right. Enough. Since I've lost this, speaking of, all right, it is my mom's birthday. All right.
Should we sing happy birthday?
Happy birthday, Graham. Trust me.
I didn't
nobody
say,
out,
say it. I said
nobody
sing
wants
it.
Us
are
to.
Are you
going to
take her to a Mexican restaurant where they put a sombrero on her and
no,
clap?
No, she's not feeling well.
I'm
so,
going to that party.
All right. But here's the deal. I'll never forget being about 15, 16 years old. And my parents had some tomato plants down the end of the lower level of the backyard.
We really need snakes. Archive.
Yes, we have totally lost it, Price. All right, this is you. This is how you and Martha Beth, you know, y'all get along so well. This is why.
Okay.
I see this little 5'2" woman, powerhouse, and I hear her, and I just see some hair like bobbing up and down across the backyard. She runs in through the screen porch, slams the door into the den of the house, and locks it. I said, Mom, what's wrong? She had put her hand on a little garter snake that was all of about 10 inches long out there by the tomato plant. She was convinced that that snake was going to follow her in, unlock the door. That's why it had to be locked. And come on in and terrorize our family. Now, I don't like snakes,
well, you know,
but I'm
snakes,
not worried about a garter snake doing that.
Snakes can't do that because they lack opposable thumbs.
Duh. That's my point on it. Why did she lock the door? It just seems like closing the door would have been acceptable in that situation.
Can we please talk some sports? Please.
Please.
Anything but.
You know what the UAB mascot is? What it kind of looks like?
A cobra.
It's a blazer, but it kind of looks like a snake.
What was the,
it's a dragon, which is kind of a snake.
All right. What was the name of the, opposing, karate dojido, in the Karate Kid?
Oh, a Cobra Kai.
Cobras. Yeah. So, listen, I don't like snakes, but I think I finally found something I think Price hates worse
than. What was G.I. Joe's biggest nemesis organization?
Chaos.
Cobras.
Okay, anyway. Cobras. All right. Real quickly, Price. Big Monday is tonight. That includes a good ACC basketball game. Duke at Notre Dame. And, you know, Jeff Capel and Duke not playing that well. They lose at home Tuesday night to NC State. They do come back and, get a win at Wake Forest. So Duke just trying to hang in there for the time being. That is a big ball game, followed by Bedlam, Oklahoma at Oklahoma State tonight. Not quite the matchup it's been in years past.
Well, first for Duke, they're still in real trouble, and I say this because look at who they have left. I mean, Duke still has Carolina twice. They have to go to NC State, who they just lost to at home. I believe they still have to go to Miami. They have to go to Florida State. Where is it going to end? And I'm not sure it does end anytime soon. The only thing you can think, they still have to go to Virginia. They still have to go to Syracuse. I mean, look, Duke's about to enter, I think, the meatiest portion of their ACC schedule. They're in real serious trouble. The only way they're getting out of this trouble is Coach K coming back. And it's nothing against Jeff Capel. But when you take a bunch of coaches who went to a season knowing what their roles were, and then you thrust a guy who's got obviously, and I get that these things do happen. And you have to be prepared in case things change. But it's just, it's not what you expect, especially when you're working with a Hall of Famer, one of the best coaches in America. You're thrust into different type of roles as assistants. I don't think this thing is going to come close to getting fixed, and it may not even after K gets back.
It's going to be interesting again. It just looks discombobulated and not, listen, you know, one of the things that's happened to Duke basketball by default, by a byproduct, if you will, is just the close attention that Grayson Allen has brought on that program this year for stuff that Duke basketball doesn't need to be defending. You know, all this, tripping and these accusations and all. You know, it used to be like Duke would get a little bit of a pass. Now, after a couple of guys have come through, a la Grayson Allen, I don't think Duke gets really much of a pass at anything right now.
Let me ask you this. If Coach K is around, do you think that the word gets out that the jerseys were taken and the locker room, you know, the things they did internally? So I think that came from somebody that was close to a player and leaked it.
It's going to be interesting because, again, you know, that's one guy that regardless how you feel about Duke basketball, you have to respect what he has done there. So, again, it's going to be interesting. Is this then? Will he come back, finish this thing off, try to take it as far and walk away? What do you think, Price? Because I'll tell you this much. Once that back and that neck area gets to hurting too bad, it's hard to be – to put your happy face on every day of the week moving forward, because there is at times nothing that can be done for you.
Oh, I think he's coming back.
Yeah.
Whether
but
is
for
it,
how long?
Is it, well,
I think that's the million-dollar question. Right. I think he's definitely back likely this season, although we're not sure. But as far as how much more, I mean, there were people that said 10 years ago they thought he would coach five more years. Well, here we are. Mm-hmm. We've blown past that. I think I'll say they'll probably coach another 5 years. Does he coach that long? Maybe he does. I don't know. Like it's a million-dollar question around Durham.
When back surgery is your last option because of epidural and things don't work anymore, then guess what? That's bone starting to rub on bone. And from somebody that has a little bit of a history of that, it's not the most fun. All right, here's what we'll do tomorrow. Our Super Bowl prop bets. I've got a whole bunch of them. Like, I'm really, really concerned about what color the Gatorade is going to be thrown on the winning coach. But guess what? You can make a bet in Las Vegas. We'll give you other prop bets as well. We'll also have our weekly Gamecock update with David Caravella of the Charleston Post and Courier, working on a few other things as well. So, Diesel, thank you for tying this thing down. No snakes, and do not send, like, snake dreams over to Price tonight. We don't want to freak him out too bad.
How do I send a snake dream?
I have no idea. No idea. But there's video out there somewhere that's got Price running like a little girl, just screaming with that 10-inch garter snake right on his tail. In the meantime, have a great night. We'll see you again tomorrow at 4 o'clock for more Straight Up with Sturge.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.